episode 179 of Game Over Nation. I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Javi did a weird countdown, and I almost hit go too soon.
I thought he was going for like a Wayne's World, like three.
Right. It was like, yeah, like he was doing and a like silent countdown.
I imagined the finger point.
Yeah, I was like trying to, I was like, do I need to hit it now? Should I hit it anyway?
And then it was like, go. Oh, shit.
I told you guys I had to finish chewing. And if I didn't take that extra pause, then something would have shot out of my mouth. Anyways, we also have Gabe Philbin.
This is a monumental episode, 179. Yep. Can't believe we made it this far.
My God, we've never been here before.
The milestone.
Yeah.
It's true.
Going where we've never gone.
This is the first and last episode, 179.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's dive right in.
Until we rebrand again.
Yeah.
Oh, the original Gova was, what, only 80, I think?
80, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, blew that shit out of the water, son.
I don't think we have any more OG listeners left. If you're an OG listener, let us know. You won't.
Do it, you won't.
Yeah, do it, you won't.
Justin Doss has been around since
That's
then.
That's true.
Was he was a blogger, like an IGN blogger, was he? I don't remember.
I don't know.
He was part of the Tiny Chat.
Well, yeah, but Gova was before that.
Justin, write in and tell us where you came from.
Canada.
Where did you come from? If you just say Canada, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you.
I'm
going
to come to Canada and find you there. Look you up in Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages, the Justin Doss Corporation.
Yeah, they got Yellow Pages in Canada, right?
Right, but that's not where you find people.
They're like red or something.
White Pages, I don't fucking know.
We have White Pages here.
Yeah, but yeah. Great White North Pages.
The this Great White nowhere. Pages.
That's a good, a solid start, I think.
Yeah. Solid start.
Hilarious.
Ryan, baby. I have a need, and that need is for you to tell me what you did this week.
What have I been up to?
What'd you
I
do?
Played some more Lifeless Planet. And they got like further into the game. It's still like the story's still cool and I'm still enjoying it, but it definitely has areas where it's like, hey, now do some platforming. But the controls aren't great for it. It's kind of got the floaty thing going on, 'cause you're like in, it seems like partial gravity. And you have this like jetpack that you use, that can help you like get across bigger gaps. But once you hit the, like once you jump and hit the boost, like you have no control in the air, over where you go, which includes like slowing yourself down. And that's fine if you want to put in those realistic type, mechanics, but don't make your platforming so the way it is. Like there was a part where I had to jump between like five or six platforms. Like they keep them short, so it wasn't too frustrating, but it was like jump between these four different platforms, and it's really inconsistent with the controls sometimes. So like you'll push the stick forward, and sometimes you'll kind of start moving at a normal clip and get a little momentum build up. Sometimes he'll just walk real slow, like same joystick push, but two different,
you know, gravity is a hell of a thing,
reactions,
man,
out of the character. And so, and they also like to make platforms to where I've run into this several times where just a normal jump will get you there, but it's set up so that normal jump gets you just barely there, so you have an instinct to hit the jetpack boost and then you just sail clean over it every time. So like you typically have to just fuck it up once and then be like, oh, I guess this is one of those jumps where I can just jump to it. It's just going to be close. So like little things like that have been kind of annoying, but they're not particularly common. Like you don't run into those situations a lot. Like I did that platforming thing and that was hard enough. And then you get to another part where they ask you to do the same type of thing, only this time the wind's blowing. So you're having to fight that too. So that was super cool. But like I said, those have been few and far between. I still think you two would like it. Walking the game. That's This is another one of those.
I rather enjoy games about walking.
Yeah.
Gone Home is pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked that one too. And then more Elite Dangerous. I found these high-intensity resource extraction sites that are pretty baller. Been making a lot of money out there.
That was a mouthful.
I understood nothing of what you just said.
Don't worry. It's the rings of planets where you get people go mining, so you can go out there and kill pirates who are trying to kill the miners. So that's been fun. Let's see what else. I made a joke on Twitter with someone about vaping, and now I have 4 different vaping Twitter accounts following me. Woke up to that this morning. So that
Do you vape though?
No, I don't vape.
No, man, you vape?
Nah. I think it's because I like as a joke used hashtag vape life, and now it's just, let's see, yeah, the count is at 4. Texas Select Vapor, Pro Vape, Tasty Vapor, and Vapor Widgets are all following me now.
Tasty Vapor.
Yeah.
I mean, you essentially signed a contract and you're vape life now.
Yeah, by using the hashtag.
Welcome to vape life.
Welcome to vape life. That's unfortunate.
nothing good can come from this.
Right? Yeah, I'm not going to be vaping anytime soon. And then, let's see, what else have I done? Have I played anything else? I don't think so. I'm on the beer front, I'm going to take my first shot at a sour beer this weekend, making one. So that's pretty exciting. We'll see how that goes. I guess you guys are probably off work Friday as well.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so for me.
Well, you'd normally get 4th of July off, right?
Uh-huh.
So most companies just observe that holiday on Friday now.
Yeah. Since the 4th is set. You might look into it. Mm-hmm. You might look into it. You might be off on Friday. It amazes me how many people don't know when their days off are. Like, I have that shit marked down. Like, I know when I am off work.
Well, obviously, I know that the 4th of July would be off, but I don't know if they would, you know, go that extra mile.
Well, it's because companies will have, like, a holiday day allotted on their calendar for just assuming that people are off. Mm-hmm. And so since people would normally be off on Saturday anyway, they just take that day and put it on Friday.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would have to pay people like double or like overtime because you're technically not working then.
Yeah, so go look into that, Javi. I would highly recommend that.
Is it on the wiki?
It's go on
check
the
Amazon
wiki. Amazon wiki.
You joke, but that's a thing.
I'm sure it is, but I don't think they put company policy on there.
They do. No, like... Internal.
Or is it like
wiki.
an internal wiki. Oh, okay. I got you. Then maybe. I don't fucking know.
It's not like
know.
The Amazon history page
right.
on the public Wikipedia domain.
Most notably, Amazon does not allow employees off the 4th of July. What a bunch of monsters. They were bought by Red China.
Find out next week if I got Friday off. Tune in.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Sit for you, Javi. I know you've been playing something. Sell me on that something. Don't sell me on that something. I know.
No.
Yeah.
I've been playing Batman. I'm the only person on the podcast that's been playing this very big release. And it's unwarranted.
Well, yeah, we're not playing it because we played the other ones.
Yeah, well... You know, me and Dylan both really think that Origins was underrated. And actually, I think it's, like, not fair, the, like, negative,
right,
like, press and, like everybody just fucking hated
like
that game.
City seemed to, like, City is what did it for me. Like, that left a bad taste
right.
in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that's me why too.
When I heard this game was just kind of more of that, I was like, eh.
Well, the main bad rap I hear from Origins these days is that that game shipped in not a great state, and
on PC or what?
I don't know exactly, but they said, I don't know if it was specifically PC or if it was like across multiple platforms.
You're talking about the, we're not going to fix the problems.
We're not going to patch these. Well, we're going to focus on the DLC.
That sounds like a PC thing to me. Like, I don't think the console version was suffering from much stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that was a matter of timing that hurt that game. It was Arkham City came out the year before, and the next holiday you have another one, and it's made by someone else, and everybody's like, fuck that. You know, they're annualized.
It was that soon?
I think so.
So what, City was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then was Origins 12?
Let's see. Let's
go to the tape. I'd type, but I have a mechanical keyboard, and it would sound terrible.
All right, Arkham Origins, 2013, so 2 years.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was too soon, and the fact that it was a different developer turned off a lot of people, and also they recast everybody. But, like, really looking at that game on its own, I think Arkham Asylum's easily the best, for sure, because it's a Metroid game, you know,
But with, like, a kick-ass fighting system in it.
Yeah.
Like a kick-ass melee system in it.
Yeah, it's like, what if you took the best parts of Metroid, and, like, where you know, parts are blocked off, and then you have to unlock an ability, and then all of a sudden it opens up the whole world a little bit more, and you have enough time in every area to really, like, take it all in, and it becomes a memorable part of the whole experience.
And like I've said several times, like, just the meticulous design of the way to beat every room.
Right. Right.
And how every room looked different.
Yeah. Everything was memorable.
It was kind of a masterpiece. Like, it was really good.
Right. And then, you know, when they went open world with City, that's not really possible.
Right.
And it's a weird thing, too, because you got to give them credit, because everything in that game is just as, like, pretty, as detailed. Like, there's, like, every cell in the prison area has little different notes on the walls and all that. Like, there's still all of that in all the games. So, like, that's amazing. But the overall experience is so diluted and noisy. I think noisy is the right word. There's so much crap everywhere. And it, you know. Anyways, yeah. that was the problem with City. And I feel like Origins kind of, they stripped it down to, this is Batman's, like, first year doing it, and, like, all these villains show up. It had a great premise. It was Christmas Eve. It was snowing. There's Christmas lights everywhere. You know, all these villains basically band together to take out the Bat, and it, like, it was just cool. And it was, and the design was much, much better, if you ask me. Like, I think my problem is that Rocksteady's aesthetics and, like, the choices they make in design really don't, this is not something I'm interested in. I think
what do you mean? They're just, like, environment design or, like, art direction?
The environment is whatever. Like, it's never been really my thing, but, you know, I appreciate that it's detailed. But I think more character design, like the way that every single person looks except for the Joker looks fucking terrible to me. They all look bad. Why is Batman's ears, like, as long as his head? Why, you know? Arkham Origins, like, it was like giving that same skeleton to a different artist. That's what it felt like. And it's like an artist that was more like my speed. I think Batman and Origins looks great. I think all the villains look fucking awesome. Like, the game just is better designed aesthetically to me. But yeah, that's one problem I have that carries on into Arkham Knight, but also, like, just like Arkham City, there's a storyline, there's a narrative going through it, but, like, it kind of gets lost, and you're just basically going to, you know, the next checkpoint or the next thing on the map, you know, one after the other. You always forget what you're doing, right? And nothing matters. I don't know. Like, the most fun I've had with it, or, like, and a big problem I have with it is that it's so, and it is weird to make this complaint about a Batman game, but it's so bleak and dry and dark and serious. Like, there's no room
for... What the fuck, Batman? Quit brooding.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't you know how to have a good time, Bats?
They took it to, like, another level here, where I've been playing the game for, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 hours, something like that, and I really don't like Batman in any way, shape, or form. I think he's a piece of shit. He's a huge asshole to everyone, even the people that love him, you know, like to Robin and Oracle and everybody. He's just like a dick, a huge dick. And there's no redeeming qualities for the protagonists at all. And I think I like Joel from The Last of Us more than Batman, you know? at least he's interesting. Batman's not interesting at all.
I saw Michael Sullivan from Slightly Burned Pants posted on Facebook, button mashing got me through the first two Batman games. Let's see if it's good for a third. I was like, I don't believe you got through Asylum if that's how you played it. He said, yeah, you're right. I guess he was referring to City and Origins, but yeah.
Well, whoever decided that a good enemy is the guy with the knife that you have to press back and dodge or back and triangle every single time he swings the knife, that breaks the flow of combat every time. It's like, all right, wait for it. Back and dodge. Like, it's horrible. Yeah.
I always opt to just like jump over them.
Exactly. Yeah. And now there's a new kind of enemy that tries to spear you, you know, like fucking just tackle you to the ground. And the only way to avoid it is to jump over him. But like sometimes you have a very small window to do that. And so they just tackle you and that breaks the flow too. I don't know. I like this game got a lot of credit for like perfecting the combat. And I don't know if that's true. I feel like I've had a better time in other Batman games, but
yeah, I remember when Asylum came out and I was just thinking like it would be so great if Rocksteady never made another Batman game after this. If Asylum was just like a one and done thing, because this is so good. Well, and I feel like it needs to go nowhere else.
Well, the reason it's so good is because the premise lent itself to that. You know, you're stuck on Arkham Island, you know, and you have to go through every nook and cranny of Arkham Island, and like that's a perfect premise for the kind of game that it was. But now they've just kind of blown that up more and more. I don't know. It's like there's something cool about being on a skyscraper, diving off and like opening your bat wings and just floating over the city, like, and it looks gorgeous. Like the graphics are excellent. And then at any point in time you tap L1 and then Batman dive bombs and then lands perfectly in the Batmobile that was rocketing across the street. Like that shit's cool as hell. Like there's pieces in here that are like the Batman game that you always imagined if it was you're actually Batman in Gotham City. But yeah, I mean there's just a lot of bullshit, and I'm honestly just not having fun. Like I feel like I'm dealing with the game instead of enjoying the game, and that bums me out. Initially I was like, and I still think there's hopefully more cool stuff that they do with the Batmobile, but initially, yeah, the Batmobile totally impressed me, and not because of the combat. The combat's kind of, it's fine, it's not bad, but they keep just throwing enemies at you. Just tanks, 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 and it locks you in. And you have to fucking kill all of them before you can move on. It's awful. But no, that's not what I liked about the Batmobile. I liked how they were doing kind of asymmetrical game design where, like, you're Batman and you snuck your way into a whole building or whatever, and then you can't, like, there's an elevator at the bottom of this elevator shaft, and so you have to remotely start controlling your Batmobile that's outside the building, and you use the tank to blow up the wall and then latch on to the elevator's cable, and then you have to actually reverse with the Batmobile to pull it up, and then Batman gets inside, and you have to lower yourself down, and like at the beginning of the game there's a lot of cool stuff that you do with the Batmobile where you're swapping back and forth, or you have to like figure out how you can get the Batmobile onto an island, so you're, I mean it's kind of silly, but like there's parts where you're clamping to the metal floor and then reversing and like bending the floor to make a ramp so that your Batmobile can launch itself onto these rooftops, and you're just driving across roofs. It's fucking cool though. Like That stuff
sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, and you're like using the, you know, in the Batman Begins.
Or you know what, Javi, you sold me. Yeah. I'm gonna go buy it.
Oh, there you go.
Nah, just kidding.
In the Christopher Nolan movies, you know, they call the Batmobile. I can't remember. It was meant to like be able to bridge gaps, right? Like that's what it was originally for, and that's how they justified the rocket boost or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think they took from that. And so in this game, you can shoot the flames out of the back of the thing, but it's like very short bursts, and it's meant to like rocket you across gaps. And it's pretty cool. Like driving the Batmobile is a treat. It's fucking fast and quick, and it can turn around on a dime because it has that 3D mode where it spins around. It feels really good, but at the same time, they just lock you into this bullshit where there's tanks everywhere, and you're like, oh my god, again, you know? I don't know. It's not the masterpiece that some people were saying it was. I mean, and just like Arkham City wasn't. I think it has all of the problems that Arkham City had for me. And some people fucking love that game, so it's no surprise.
Most people do.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you wanted more Arkham City, then this is your thing. And I understand why people are frustrated with the Batmobile, because, and I think it's entirely because of those combat scenarios. And what's kind of a shame is that those combat scenarios are kind of fun the first couple times, but you just keep doing it, and frequently. They should have spread that shit out and removed a bunch of them. But, yeah, I don't know. It's Batman. It's Arkham City again, but prettier and bigger.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope that... Oh, yeah, what I was going to say, that, like, the one source of, like, comic relief or joy or any fucking personality in the whole game... and
is spoilers.
Minor spoilers, because it's
from
shows,
the beginning of the game.
Yeah, the Joker is in Batman's head. Because Scarecrow uses the fear toxin on you, so you just start hallucinating the Joker more and more as the game goes on. And he's everywhere. Like, you'll be scouting out an area, and then you'll just turn to the right, and you could totally miss it. It's not a cutscene or anything, and the camera doesn't go to him, but he'll just be, like, chilling on a railing. He's just hanging out. And if you, like, look at him, he'll just start talking and making fun of you or making fun of the scenario. And it's like, that's the only humanity in the whole game. It's like, finally, someone's kind of having fun here. And it really, I think maybe that's what is pointing out how unlikable Batman is. Is that the Joker's like, oh, thank God, you know, finally something funny or something interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's basically by your side the whole time. And that's kind of a fun dynamic. Batman and Joker are together the whole game, and it's almost a buddy cop kind of thing. Like, he's Batman's a pissed off asshole, and Joker's just having a great time.
Batman's just too old for this shit.
Yeah.
You saying that just made me think, like, man, like a Spider-Man game where the Green Goblin's just torturing you like that the whole time, and it's Willem Dafoe. Man, it'd be cool if Willem Dafoe was in a game. Oh yeah, he was.
Indeed.
And then now I'm sad. That Beyond Two Souls is the game that Willem Dafoe is in.
I thought you were talking about the movie port of Spider-Man 1.
Oh, is he the voice on that?
Probably. Tobey Maguire was. I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
I mean, they sign all their contracts together.
Yeah, that's Arkham Knight for you. Yeah, I think, you know, based on previous Batman games, you can decide whether or not this is for you. Like, there's nothing more or less to it.
It feels like almost a little shallow, but like Arkham City is a fine game. Like, it's a good game, but like one of the big reasons I don't like it as much as I do is because so many people think it's better than Asylum, and that just bothers me. like taking something so focused and making it not that at all, and it's just like they just throw shit at you and people just eat that up.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you know, who am I to say what to like, you know, you're doing something I cannot by liking Arkham City more than Arkham Asylum, so good on you, but at what cost?
Guys, I made this, like the last beer I made, It's fucking good. I'm drinking it right now. It's the first few glasses, I don't know what it was. They tasted kind of weird. But now that I'm like, I think it was because it was sitting in the tubing. Like, I had it in there, like, kind of chilling and carbonating for a few days. And I think the beer that was, like, sitting in the tubing, like, went weird. But, man, this is really good.
You know, you're probably experiencing the Moscow Mule effect.
Which is?
Oh, God.
Gabe and I yesterday, I ordered a Moscow Mule. He did as well. Mm-hmm. We sit down and take a sip. And both of us just cringe and go, what the fuck did we... What is this? It's just horrible.
It was the most bitter thing I've ever drank.
Right.
Yeah, it was like bitter, straight vodka. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh my God. And then... And it was a small glass. But right. Like, once we got a quarter way down about, like, I'm like thinking it and Gabe goes, you know, it's not so bad right now. I'm like, yeah. Dude, and then by the end, I was like, that was good. I'm going to get another one.
Maybe to an extent, what happens is, like, I put it in the keg, and then I put the tap on it, so it fit, like, some of the beer goes up into the tubing. I usually pour out, because I usually run some sanitizer through it, so, like, I pour a glass and then dump it, and then I let it chill and carbonate that way, like, at that point. Mm-hmm. And so that beer that's in the beer line sits in there for a few days, and so does every beer that runs through. I need to run a cleaner through it. So it just sits in there for a couple of days while it's carbonating, and then you pour that first glass, maybe even the first couple of glasses, and it's like it whatever's sitting in that tube is also in that first couple of glasses of beer. So like yesterday I poured the first like full glass of beer and I tasted it. I was like, man, something doesn't taste right. And I was trying to figure out what I did wrong, just like so I can, you know, always try to make it better. And then later in the evening, I poured another one. And I was like, this tastes way better. And then I was like, maybe like I ate something that affected the taste. So I poured another one. I was like, no, it still tastes good. And I was like, well, I'll check it tomorrow. And if it's good tomorrow, then I'll know that it was just that those first couple pours were just bad. So I poured a glass tonight before the podcast, and I've been drinking it, and it's delicious. So I'm very happy about that.
I have an entire stock in my fridge of beer for Dylan.
Yeah.
That's been there since, I don't know, like February or March?
Oh, yeah.
Hellboy beer, Sriracha beer.
Yeah.
And something in a pink bottle.
I don't know why he got that fucking Sriracha beer.
I don't know. I still have two bottles of the Hellboy stuff myself, but I don't know. I'm not just going to like drink them on a night in.
I just realized I'm going to have to get on it pretty soon with making something to take up to PAX. It's already going to be July in 2 days. So I need to have something ready to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, I might mail it up there ahead of the show. I don't know. Because I hate checking a bag.
So well, yeah, just send it up to me. I mean, genuinely.
You just got all kinds of beer sent
fridge,
to you.
My fridge has like nothing in it but beer and almond milk. So there's room.
Well, that's neato.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Gabe? What have you been up to?
I've been up to... So the thing I played the most over the last week was with Dylan. We both got the pre-sequel. Which you talked about briefly last week.
Yeah, you guys played the shit out of that.
I don't think we played any of it when we talked about it last week. But that game is...
You guys have been giggling your asses off.
Yeah, that game's real funny.
I haven't been playing it with them, but I've been in the Skype call most of the times when they are, and they are just giggle boxes the whole time.
It's like... It tunes it down a little bit in like the... Like... I don't know, like crazy loud humor of Borderlands 2, and it's like a little more calm. It's still like kind of rambunctious and like out there, like jokes, but sometimes they're a little bit more creative. Like Handsome Jack,
really good.
Yeah, so Handsome Jack is a DLC character, and Dylan's playing as him, and you can spend a skill point to have Jack. Chime in on the echo, like the little like radio thing, and inspire you. And he'll say like, "You guys don't suck too bad." And then the More You Know star shoots across the screen, and it goes, inspired.
And mind you, when it says it inspires you, it inspires you, the player.
Yeah.
It does not have an in-game buff.
The actual buff of that ability is it makes the player better.
There's no in-game buff.
Yeah. You don't get any boost from it. But Dylan had to respec and get rid of that because it's just, like,
it was hurting his game.
Yeah, well, if there's like a story radio com going on, it gets cut off if Jack comes in to inspire you. So we were missing story details because Jack needed to inspire us.
That's funny. Hey, Gabe, you're doing a great job.
Inspire. Yeah, and like there's a surprising amount of inspirational quotes that Jack will tell you. But other than that, like the game's gimmick that like separates it from the other two is that most of the areas have low gravity and like an oxygen meter. So you have to like monitor your oxygen meter, but you can also use it to like boost you while jumping. Right. So it's like a little balance of like paying attention to your resources and using them to get to further away locations. And it's like, I thought, like, when I heard about Borderlands pre-sequel, I thought that would be kind of annoying, but it's pretty easy to deal with. Like, even when you do run out of oxygen,
yeah, it's not bad.
Your health just ticks down, like, one at a time. So it's like, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah, it was way less of an issue than I thought it would be, too.
Yeah. It helps you, like, move around faster, so it makes not having a car in big areas way easier. There are, like, skills and items that now work differently when you're airborne. You can butt slam the ground pretty much after you jump up high enough, and I got an oxygen tank that made a big fart noise whenever I did that. So I was a big fan of that. And also it timed out really well with I also played the episode 3 on Tuesday last week, and that episode 3 of Tales from the Borderlands picks up almost like right before the pre-sequel starts, because the pre-sequel technically like takes place after Borderlands 2, but then it's them telling the story back from Athena's perspective. And she is a character in Tales from the Borderlands as well. And that was just like a nice timely link between the two.
Who also are you playing as, Gabe?
Athena.
Oh, okay, that is who you went with.
Yeah, Athena's got the shield that absorbs damage and then shoots it back, depending on how much you absorb.
Gotcha.
It's pretty good. But Tales from the Borderlands, episode 3, holy hell, that was good. That was like the best episode yet. I've been on a big Borderlands kick this week. yeah, Tales from the Borderlands episode 3 is just more of what I love about that series and the best of what I love about the Tales from the Borderlands, of just the characters being really funny and sweet and charming, and just like the story getting more interesting, like more characters that are like don't feel like throwaways. It's really great. No one plays Tales from the Borderlands, so people should play Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, I kind of want to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of did anyway, but here, like, when you've talked about it, it makes me want to get it and play it more. I like Borderlands.
Yeah. It's not like, I remember when it came out, and Harris says this, of like, I don't care about the universe of Borderlands. Like, I don't need that expanded. And it's like, it doesn't really do that. Like, it doesn't get into, like, the backstory of Pandora, like, the lore of Pandora and Hyperion. It's just like, it's more characters in that that area that are just more interesting than what Borderlands has offered in the past.
Right.
I think pre-sequel is probably the best characterization of like the regular games. And that's actually something Anthony Birch wrote about. He wrote a Kotaku article about how, like, what they learned from episode 2 that like surprised them of, like, when he started writing it, he thought that people didn't want, like, the main characters to talk. Like, if you're playing a first-person character, you don't want them to speak at all because it'd be, like, jarring. But then when they, like, started testing it, people thought that was weird that they didn't speak. And they, like, the characters look like they have personality, but, yeah, you know, they're not doing anything. So for Borderlands 2, they just, like, threw... It was way too late in the process, so they just threw in some, like, echo logs scattered across some missions. for backstory on them. But now in this, in pre-sequel, the, like, Athena will have a different comment about something. They actually did, like, a surprisingly good job of Jack. He's Jack's body double that you play as. And since he was DLC, like, I didn't expect him to have, like, as many integrated lines. But, you know, he keeps right up, and it's like, impressive. It's pre-sequel is not quite the, like, throwaway cash-in that it kind of seemed like it was. And, you know, maybe it is, but it's really fun. but other than that, today I loaded
They done fucked up and made a good game.
Yeah, yeah. They tried to make me uninterested. Little did they know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing a real small game made by, I think, one developer. It's called Her Story. It's made by Sam Barlow, who coincidentally is also like one of the leads and writer of Silent Hill's Shattered Memories, which, Javi, I think you loaded up over this week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that.
Yeah.
I've been playing that all week, too. But yeah. Go ahead.
So he made this, and it's a... I've got Shattered Memories, too. I haven't loaded it up yet. I will get to that. But Her Story is, like, a crime mystery... a crime mystery. But the way you discover details is really interesting. It seems to take place way in the future of when the actual crime happened. You're going through these tapes from interviews that are all broken up into, like, small little clips. Like, I don't know, they range from, like, 5 seconds to, I think, the longest one I saw was, like, 2.5 minutes. And the way you're, like, finding these is you just search for keywords, and it will, like, search the transcript of these videos and bring up every video that has that word in it. Huh. So the first thing that shows up, like, that just gets you started, you just load up the game, and this, like, program is open on this fake desktop. And it just, the keyword is murder, and there are 5 results. And then you start, like, watching those, and then depending on what details you learn from that, you'll search for another word. And then, like, I searched the victim's name next. And that led to, like, 71 results. But you can only look at, like, the first 5, and they're sorted chronologically. So to limit it down, you have to discover, like, other words to attach to that, so you can search the victim's name and then another word to, like, limit it down even more. And you just try to piece together all these clues, basically starting with nothing. And it's... I forgot to mention this, but all of these videos are full motion videos, so it's, like, kind of... I don't know, like, it feels... timepiece. No. it feels like a timepiece from, like, the FMV days, like the Mad Dog McCree days.
The Sega CD.
Yeah, something like that. Because the crime took place back in, like, I think the tapes are from 94.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website. It is 94.
Yeah. And it's just such an interesting way of, like, making it feel like you are learning stuff, because the game doesn't hold your hand at all other than, like, a README doc on the desktop that you can open up, and it just, like, explains what that program is that you're using and how to use it, so it just tells you what, like, keywords to search. But, like, I got through, I don't know, like, 25 videos, and then, like, I noticed something about the person in the interview, and I was like, oh, shit, this changes, like, what happened in, like, the third video I watched, and then I went back in that, and each video lets you take notes to it.
Wait, but are you trying to deduce whether or not she's telling you the truth, or do you just automatically, she is telling the truth, and you're just trying to piece it together?
You're trying to figure, you don't know anything. You don't know if she's telling the truth, you don't know if she's, like, withholding information, like, you have to kind of, like, pay attention to her body language, and all the interviews are from different days, so you have to pay attention to, like, what outfit she's wearing, like, what order the videos are displayed in, because that's the chronological order. And it keeps track of each new video you watch with, like, this database tracker by, like, lighting things up. And I haven't even gone through, like, half the videos, and I think I played for, like, an hour and a half. And, like, it's very very unexpected of like where it has gone, where my mind thinks it's going, like the like weird branching paths I imagined that either turned out to be true, weren't true at all. It's just such a cool game, and it's only like $5, so everybody should get it.
I'm buying it, and I'm buying Rachel a copy right now.
Yeah, it's on PC and iOS, I think. I don't.
Is it on Steam?
Yeah.
Oh.
And thanks to Steam refunds.
It's on Steam, so never mind.
thanks to Steam refunds, if you think it's a dumb baby game for 2 hours.
Game for babies.
Yeah.
Dumb game for babby.
Yeah, but shit, like, her, it's blowing my mind, like, the way that game is revealing things, because it's like there's no set path to it, because what Javi searches for, the order he searches it in is going to be completely different from what I searched. The way he takes notes is going to be different from how I took notes. It's
victim
like,
plus gumped plus my plus dick. Ah, didn't return anything. Damn it.
I have not tried the keyword gumped yet.
That's the first thing you try, dude.
Come on, Gabe.
Yeah. Man, I'm gonna keep playing it after we're done. It's like I don't even know how it will end, really. Like, or like if even there is an ending. Like, if the payoff is you thinking you know what's going on. Like, if it ever explicitly actually like tells you, like what the answer is. If there even is an answer at all, I don't know. It's crazy, and I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's her story. I think that's all I've been up to, other than like stupid League of Legends bullshit.
How were you going to talk about your other game?
Is it Silent Hill?
Sure. Silent Hill Shattered Memories is...
Okay, well, I just want to jump in real quick before you do that.
Sure.
Normally, I bring... I brought whiskey in here, so I don't have to interrupt anything. But while you talk about that, I'm going to go pour another beer because this shit's good. So have
thank
at
you,
it.
Ryan.
I'll be right back.
I very much look forward to listening to what you have to say, Javi, unlike some people.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. What a dick.
Yeah, it's fine. I do the same thing when he talks about sports. But, yeah, that game's cool. Shattered Memories kind of bums me out, honestly, because I see so much potential, and then I also see just blatant bad decisions on like how the game's designed. Like fundamentally, like how do you deflate all the actual fear and horror from a horror game? It's drawing a straight line between when you're in danger and when you're not. And that sucks, because the times when you're not in danger are when the game shines its best. And it's not because you're not in danger. It's because that's when the atmosphere is there. That's when you're in quiet places, like examining disturbing things or uncovering little side stories of fucked up shit that happened to people. But like on top of that, you need some danger. You need to feel, you know, unsafe. But they fucked up royally. Like you're not trying to stay alive unless the world freezes over and there's just monsters chasing after you. And that gameplay is so weak and broken and annoying, especially when they start throwing weird objectives that you need to try to complete while you're running away. There's no way to defend yourself. You can only knock stuff over to slow them down a little bit. And then, if you're lucky, you find a flare that keeps them away for, like, a minute. But yeah, it's that simple. That's the entire, like, enemy encounter dynamic. That's everything right there.
Just run?
Yeah, you just run.
Run and throw flares.
And sometimes you're trapped in a giant area with several
Alan
different
Wake?
Doors. yeah, but Alan Wake was a shooter, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm just kidding.
Kill people,
I know.
Right?
Yes, but, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're trapped in a big area with lots of different rooms and hallways and stuff, but you can't, unless you, like, solve a puzzle first, it won't end. You can't progress. So, like, you're trying to figure out what the hell it wants you to do while monsters are busting in on you constantly and you're trying to sprint to the next door, and it just gets a little... Like I could see how it could sound like, oh, cool, that sounds hectic. That sounds, you know, like your heart's bumping and you're trying to figure the thing out. But really, not so much. It's kind of obnoxious, and it doesn't feel well designed or well done. It's just kind of like, God, I want to get this frozen shit over with so I can get back to the really cool atmospheric parts of the game. Also, the in between each like chunk of, like, I guess each chapter, they're not really chapters, but you meet with a psychologist and he performs various tests on you, and that affects the next round of like the next part of the game you're gonna play. So, like, for example, at one point he gives you a black and white photograph of a family in front of a house and mailbox and car and all that, and he's like, why don't you paint this the way that your home was when you were growing up? And so you have a set of colored pencils and you get to choose which one you use, and you paint it all, and you can spend as much time on there as you want or as little time on there as you want. And I guess the game takes note of how detailed you got and how much time you spent. On top of that, the next, like, once you get back into the game, the first thing you see is that house, and it's painted the exact same color you painted it. And then, you know, you knock on the door and the father opens it. His clothes are painted, or he's wearing the same color clothes that you painted on him. Like, it's just cool, like, how you're changing the game, like, whether you realize it or not. Even in that first garage that you go into, like, there's, like, some pinup models on the walls or whatever, and, you know, swimsuit ladies, and if you stare at them for too long, then the game records that, and it'll affect the way that certain female characters might dress or the way that people react to you. So I don't know, there's a lot of cool experimental stuff in there that, you know, it makes sense that this is the guy that made Her Story, what Gabe was just talking about, because it's very unique game design. And it's really interesting. Like, I feel like Shattered Memories, like, it totally diverted. It honestly shouldn't have been a Silent Hill game, because it's not, for all intents and purposes. Like, it's supposed to be like a reimagining of Silent Hill 1, but the only thing that really connects or that really validates that is that the characters have the same names. Otherwise, it's totally different. It doesn't need to be Silent Hill. But yeah, I really like Shattered Memories a lot, but it's also a shame that, you know, we're not going to see another iteration on it, because it has so many problems, but it did so much that you've never seen before or since. And I really want to see more from, you know, that team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So that's,
well, that reactive stuff you're talking about, that's like in other Silent Hill games too, isn't it? Like, Silent Hill 2 has, like, one of the endings is triggered based on how long you look at, like, a photo in your inventory.
That's true. I mean, yeah, but never so blatantly, and never so, like, it didn't usually change the game. Like, that changed the ending to Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying, it's more expansive in Shattered Memories. Of, like,
yeah,
there's
we're like
to it.
Characters,
just, like,
characters,
yes or no,
look and act differently based on what you do.
Cool.
And, like, even the first big area you're in Shattered or Shattered Memories, you have either a dress shop or, like, a bar or something. You have, like, two options of places to go in. And once you go into one, the other one locks permanently. So, and that changes where you end up, like, in the next area. Like, you basically cut off branching storylines on the way you go and what you do. I don't know. I just think it's more robust. Because, like, yeah, in Silent Hill 3 and 1, basically, like, you can always, there's always multiple endings. Like, multiple endings isn't a new thing for the franchise, but kind of, like,
yeah,
changing, like, other chunks of the game, I think that's unique.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Does Shattered Memories have a dog ending?
I'm not sure. It probably does, just for tradition's sake. But, you know, this team, I did some research on them, and, you know, it's popular to say that Konami farmed out Silent Hill to all these Western developers that just ruined it, you know, across the board. And for the most part, that's absolutely true. But the two Silent Hill games that I would argue are pretty good to damn near, like, as good. Well, not as good, but, like, at least as good as 4, The Room, is Shattered Memories is pretty good, and Silent Hill Origins is basically a Silent Hill game. Like, I think the big problem is that developers keep trying to reinvent the wheel instead of, like, looking at Silent Hill and what it did well and then just making another one of them. And I think that that example is Silent Hill Origins. That's mm-hmm. Silent Hill Origins is another Silent Hill. Like, it's kind of tank controls, but it feels more fluid. It has the rusty, gross world and the normal world, but it's not, like, action-y, you know, and it just feels very old school in a good way. And that's the same developer as Shattered Memories, so it's cool that they did a good job with the license. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that they lost it. I don't know what happened.
Because they made a Wii exclusive game that tanked.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to getting
it. Do we have any news?
Yeah, we got a bit.
All right.
So there's the PC Arkham debacle of that is actually not available for purchase anymore and has been pulled from Steam because it was very not up to
broke as fuck.
Well, because what kind of like signaled not great was like not a great like indicator before launch was like, I don't know, a week before all of the minimum specs went way up for PC. And it's like, that's a weird fucking thing to happen. And then now people are like looking for someone to blame and they see that there are 12 names from Iron Galaxy, Dave Lang studio, in the credits. And like, oh man, Iron Galaxy fucked this up. And it's like, well, we don't know exactly what Iron Galaxy was involved in. Like I think it's obvious that they helped in some regard to the PC platform, but if it was only those 12 employees, like...
Yeah, you can't really blame them.
And it's like, you know, it's not like Iron Galaxy said, yeah, 12 employees, they got it. It's probably Warner Brothers said, here is this small sum of money.
Here's how much money we have to make this a PC game.
Yeah. And Warner Brothers is not...
And here's a few months.
Yeah. Warner Brothers is also not very, doesn't have a great track record with PC games, given that Mortal Kombat X just came out broken as fuck on PC as well. But now, people are like...
How do port?
People are saying that maybe, or not maybe, but most likely because of these, the refund option for Steam, that's why this game is now pulled until it is, like, functional, at least, because... Maybe Valve went to Warner Brothers and was like, hey, we're not processing all these refunds for you. Pull your shit. Or they didn't want to have, like, fake sales that would then get, like, resold back to them. So it's, like, it's interesting seeing how refunds has affected things already in a positive manner.
Yeah.
Other services, like Green Man Gaming, who sold it for, like, $40, I think.
Oh, man, could you imagine if they couldn't refund... Like, holy shit.
Well, Green Man Gaming said they will offer refunds after the first patch if that doesn't fix things. And the first patch came out, I think, today and didn't fix a lot of things. Because Green Man Gaming sold it for, like, a huge discount, so they're going to lose a lot of money off that. And it's like, they ain't going to be too happy about this, so... Yeah. It's also weird given, like, how... The, like, PS4, I remember when it was, like, first, before it was launched, when Mark Cerny was talking about, like, how easy it will be to, like, get it from system to system between, like, PS4 and PC, and then seeing, like, this huge struggle for that. It's like, not quite as easy as you made it sound like, Mark Cerny. But in other news, guys, rejoice, because Drive Club PS Plus...
Oh, thank God.
It's finally canceled? Here.
Oh. And then... Oh, never mind. I'm not as happy.
Released then pulled like a few hours later or the next day, and I think now it's back up.
God.
And it's like, shit, I feel so bad for those developers.
I guess. I mean, it's on them. Like,
well, yeah, like they, it, their work fucked it up, but like, I don't, like, this, like, they, I don't know, it feels like this is something that was so deep into, like, their, like, work process, like, so, happened so early on that was, like, not, clearly not noticeable. Like, there's no way they would try to ship this.
There's a fundamental problem with the way the online was built.
Yeah. I mean, it apparently, like, even beyond that, like, Drive Club isn't anything to write home about, so, like, it's not like this was a deal breaker, but it's, like, shit, this is supposed to be a PlayStation 4 launch title.
Mm-hmm.
And then also today, I don't know if you saw this, Javi or Ryan, but Nolan North had like an interview about, I think pretty much like they were talking about Star Wars and Uncharted 4.
Right.
And he said that there was about 8 months of shooting and work done on Uncharted 4 for like Amy Hennig's version. But when she was gone, they wiped all of it and started over. And it's like, holy shit. That's like, just fucking retcon everything. Like, that's pretty intense.
Wasn't there something about a Star Wars game, too?
Like, well, yeah, also the surprising everyone everywhere, this new Star Wars game that Amy Hennig is working on will be similar to Uncharted. Oh my god!
We're gonna... Oh man, Sir Francis Drake's ancient or far future relatives in a galaxy far, far away are hiding some shit in a Nazi bunker. I don't Empire bunker, and there's a submarine.
Yeah,
you have to get in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of this will happen.
Then there's weird zombie aliens.
Yeah,
and yeah.
No, this all sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sounds solid.
Yeah. They're onto something here. And so Miyamoto has said he is not working on the NX hardware. He's taking a step back from hardware development. And we'll, like, he'll keep an eye on it, like, just to see what's going on, but he is not a force behind it, and he's going to focus on software instead.
That processor is too strong. Take that out.
And also that
keeping an eye on
Nintendo said that they could talk about the NX, but they don't want people to steal their ideas.
Yeah, which... I don't know that means that they're going to gimmick it up, but...
It kind of makes you think that they have something.
It thinks that way. Yeah, they probably got something. Like, you think it's like going to be like... It's got to be like augmented reality, right? Like, that's their thing. That's their new thing.
I don't know.
But I don't know. It could just be that they're making, like, a legitimate system, and they just don't want to give that away.
Just make the GameCube 2.
Right.
If they make the GameCube 2, that would fucking not sell at all, but I would be so happy.
That's accurate.
Yeah. It's like the GameCube is probably my favorite console.
Powerful as shit, too.
Yeah, it was like the most powerful little tiny box.
Which... It was the middle tier. Xbox was a little bit better.
Yeah, but... Xbox was a little bit stronger, but it was outdoing the PS2. Yeah,
well, that's
PS2 was the weakest, and it was... the most successful, so it didn't matter.
I thought the GameCube had like some things more powerful than the Xbox.
But it could do certain shading. Like, yeah. Factor 5 was like one of the few people that were doing anything with that capability, but no, the Xbox
I think
had more power.
Yeah, the GameCube's failings came on the heel of the N60. Like, PlayStation was the new hot kid in town, and that momentum just carried into the PS2,
well,
so that was...
You know, if Nintendo could have, you know, they could have been competitive in that generation if they didn't fucking launch with a controller that was yellow and green and red and a console that is purple and a lunchbox. You know, like they drew a line in the sand where they're like, this is for children. And like, people like me were like, well, I love Nintendo games, and I love kid shit. I'm going to buy this. This is great, right? But, like, people like me were the only ones that stuck around, while everybody else who was growing up and, like, didn't care about cartoons and wanted to see if video games could mature with them Sony was there to cater to all of those people.
God of War and
yeah,
Fahrenheit.
Yep, and Fantavision and Smuggler's Run.
Thank God for God of War.
I was so happy that that wasn't at E3. Holy shit. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but...
that would have just ruined your show. Who cares?
I'd care.
It's all awful.
I want it to go away.
I want it to not exist, because then it bothers me.
I didn't know you recorded me.
Yeah, I know.
All right, and then last up in news, that's just like a funny little thing. Nomura apparently was unaware that he was the director on Final Fantasy VII until a memo came out about how he's the director on Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's like what they did to a Smash Brothers guy, Sakurai.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you do that? How can you...
Just don't tell him.
I guess, yeah, if he's an employee still, you could do that.
But, yeah. You sure can.
But like Nomura had an interview where he said that, you know, they are going to change, like how it's played a little bit. Like they feel like it would be lazy to do just a like cut and paste job of the combat system. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's cool. Do that. See, well, do it good. don't do it bad, because then it's gonna be hell to pay.
What if every time you got into combat, you had to run to the exit and drop flares? You just ran away from every enemy. That's a good idea. Be Final Fantasy VII Memories. Seventh memory. Oh, fuck it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, there we go. Let's get on into questions, because there's still not a whole lot of news going on. The post E3 slump. All right, Prototype, do you prefer AR or VR? I've never done anything augmented reality. Like, no,
I've never done any VR.
I've worn an Oculus a few times, and I've been intrigued for a while. You know, see how it goes.
The only AR stuff I did was on the 3DS with those cards.
Oh yeah, I guess that counts. Oh man. So there was that one card that made like an island on whatever you put it that card on, mm-hmm. and it would like bump up the surface that you put the card down on. So it would have like, if you put it on like a white table, it would make like a white mountain and shit. And so I think it was in a Hey Ash video. They put an AR card on somebody's stomach, and it just started like making these horrible sounds and raising it up. It just looks so gross.
Nice. I remember those people that made like the giant AR cards. Like they just recreated the little Nintendo ones, like on like a sidewalk or something, and then like had someone stand up in like a balcony of a building, so it was like proportional, but it made it look like this giant thing going on like in the street, which was kind of neat. Augmented reality is really cool.
Yeah, I feel like VR is a lot more tangible right now and cheaper. Like if you're talking about like HoloLens versus Oculus. Mm-hmm. So I think like for the near future, I'll look more for VR because that just seems more applicable right now. HoloLens is like the like creme de la creme of like, it's just going to have like ridiculous extra bits for games that will be crazy interesting looking, like that Minecraft thing at E3, but like I really want to see what I want to get like a game demo of that Eve Valkyrie game. I don't necessarily know if I want to buy it, but I want that with the Oculus, just to look around a spaceship in space, cuz that sounds cool.
Right.
Javi?
Yeah.
What?
VR, AR, any interest in the two? Preference?
Oh, AR is where shit's projected into the real world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really see any practical or realistic uses for AR right now. I mean, I'm totally open to being proven wrong, but so right now, like, VR is what I'm more interested in, and mm-hmm. not enough that I'm gonna pre-order an Oculus or anything. Like, once it becomes affordable and there's a killer app, like a piece of software that I have to own, then I'm interested. As of right now, I like reading about it. I like reading about that new controller that people were freaking out about that was with Oculus.
That sounds
amazing the way that they described it. I look forward to the very first time I put on a VR headset and look at my hands and they're there, but they're not my hands. They're animated, or they're a 3D model, and they react. Oh my God, that's going to be so weird and magical, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'll be like the first time you were a kid and you were playing your very first video game and you saw like the pixels move when you press the button. Like, that was fucking sorcery when I was a kid. Like, that was magic, you know? So
yeah,
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that it was like a rumor a while ago, like a few years back, of Microsoft having like this projector accessory for the Xbox that would like extend the screen beyond the TV?
So
it would like project the image on the wall. And like that technology exists. It just, and I think it was bought by Microsoft too, but it was just like never implemented.
It's not practical, and like you need a projector, but then it just, like, it feels like a waste of a projector in a way. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who will get the Yarn Yoshi amiibo?
I think Rachel wants to get it. But it's so out of place. It's like this just big puffy
yarn. It's kind of big, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't have like a base. It's weird.
It's just a beanie baby.
And like, since that Yoshi, that Woolly World game, like, he has different costumes for like other amiibos. So what does the Yoshi one do?
Makes him even more Yoshi.
Whoa! It gives him a Yoshi costume.
Yoshi is fuck.
It's fucking meta.
It's like Scream.
Did the scene where Batman is putting on his new costume in Arkham Knight remind you of the Schumacher films? Schumacher?
Oh, did it show his ass? I don't know.
which one was that? Was that the Michael Keaton?
Val Kilmer and George Clooney ones.
Oh, it was both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The bad ones.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer's is okay, but yeah.
Clooney, what were they thinking?
God, that Batman and Robin.
George Clooney is the least of that. Yeah, yeah. He's not the reason that movie sucks.
So I remember seeing Batman and Robin for the first time, like, on TV, and like just scrolling through the guide, like that little OK guide, and seeing like, oh, Batman and Robin, who's in this? And it's like George Clooney, Uma Thurman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and whoever the hell Robin is.
Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, and
Chris O'Donnell.
I listed it out to my mom, and she just goes, "Holy shit, that sounds good." And then I put it on, and we watched it, and it's like, oh my God.
Chill.
You know, now I think it's good for a whole bunch of other reasons, but like,
right? Why don't we have another bad movie night?
I might need a break where I actually watch like good movies.
Because that's a bad idea.
Because like, I've spent so much time actively seeking out shit that it's like everybody's telling me how good Nightcrawler is, and like maybe I should just sit down and watch Nightcrawler instead of, I don't know, Master of Disguise.
No, or you could watch Master of Disguise again.
Yeah.
Or just Bigelow Male Gigolo. It's a good movie.
Well, didn't you have a movie that you wanted us to watch together?
It wasn't
Deuce Bigelow. Fuck. I think you said it in the Facebook chat.
I mean, the other day I was like, we should watch Jack and Jill, but I don't think that's
That might have been it. But yeah, I'm not sinking that low. I will watch the Adam Sandler movie Going Overboard.
I think watching Jack and Jill with, like, what we know about it has more merit than watching Master of Disguise.
You know, that's maybe not wrong, but Master of Disguise really hurt me.
Yeah.
Of, like, I paid a lot of money for this when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I owned it on DVD, too.
Oh, no.
I watch a movie that I saw when I was a kid, and I'm like, I made my parents see that. I made them buy it on DVD. I'm the worst kid ever.
They really loved you.
And it's like, I genuinely think the first Spy Kids movie is, like, good. Spy Kids 3 is, like bad good, like, inspiration for Avatar. And then Spy Kids 2 is just, like, ridiculous. But, like, Spy Kids 1 is, like, genuinely fun. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't feel too bad about making her see that. But, like, Spy Kids 3, like, she probably got, like, a headache watching all that 3D garbage. Yeah.
She's like, you're not a kid anymore. Why are we watching this?
Gabe, you're 17 years old. We can't go see Spy Kids 3D for the seventh time.
I hope, oh, man, I hope that give it, like, 5 years, Robert Rodriguez brings those kids back to make spy men or spy people.
Spy adults.
Spy adults. Spy parents. And they have kids now.
Man.
Mm. Mm.
I mean, Spy Kids, he came back with Spy Kids 4, and that was a travesty.
Yeah. But he probably made that for, like, a fraction of the budget and time.
It lost its magic.
And he didn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Can someone tell Dylan that they did bring back Spider-Man 2099 about a year ago? So.
Brought him back?
Yeah.
To the comics?
I guess.
Oh, okay.
So I guess he had a thing about a year ago.
Yeah. That's cool.
With all these remakes and revivals lately, can we get a petition started for Activision to remake Spider-Man 2?
No! God.
Is Spider-Man 2 actually good, or are people just like the swinging?
People just like the swinging. That's it. And you know what's just as good is the Amazing Spider-Man swinging. That's fine. You know, I mean, I guess it's not. You know what? The open world Spider-Man games nowadays are just missing a few little touches. Like, you don't have that sense of speed when you're swinging, and you don't feel like you have quite as much flexibility with how you shoot your webs out. But, like, those are things that can be addressed. And Spider-Man 2 is a terrible fucking game. It always was. It's just so much fun to swing around. Really, really fun to swing around. I want someone, not Beanox, to make Spider-Man and make it good. And give them 5 years to make it. Let them make something original, not licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. But that's never gonna
happen. Yeah, like that. Like, man, like, those Transformers games that were good? Well, the one that was good?
Well, Javi and I weren't into that.
Yeah, well, you're...
Was it War for Cybertron?
I mean, look, I think
I think that was the one that was good.
But if, I don't know, if you're really into the franchise and it's a solid third-person shooter, I understand.
Now, the Transformers game I can get behind is the Platinum one. The character action Transformers
that one
game.
Actually looks like the cartoon, right? Yeah. Are you excited for that?
I only, like, heard a little bit about it. I haven't actually gone and looked at what they're doing with it.
It's, like, cel-shaded.
I should probably do that.
Yeah.
I should probably look into it. I heard a lot of people being like, oh, shit, that looks badass, but I haven't actually looked into it. Because that was at E3, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was the one.
You know, it's funny. You look at this Transformers game, and then you look at War for Cybertron, the old one, that's basically that's like my dream Batman game versus the Batman games that exist now. Like, I want an animated series, cel-shaded, fucking cartoony as hell Batman the Animated Series game. And instead we get this Unreal Engine, everything's grimy and gross. Like, that's what those Transformers games felt like to me. They felt like Arkham Transformers games, where they're just like unreal as fuck and very everything is gross. I don't know if that makes sense.
But say that again.
I'm saying that those War for Cybertron games, right, they look like every other Unreal game, where, you know, it looked like a Gears of War game or a Batman game where everything, all the textures are muddy and kind of,
yeah, I guess,
you know, weird, bumpy.
But it, like, that was, I guess maybe it looks, but that was like a weird kind of a thing you didn't see in Transformers, so it made it kind of fresh. So that was kind of neat. But
yeah, I mean, it was fresh to see Transformers in that style, but at the end of last gen, that style felt like it was everywhere. You know, I just feel like everything was tainted with that unreal look. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this Platinum game. Mm-hmm. Or I like the look of this Platinum game where everything's clean and bright colors. And
I really like the tweet during E3 of, I think Platinum Games is the Telltale Games of games. Because they're doing so much shit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if they all turn out well, like, I mean, we'll see how Star Fox goes. We'll see how this Transformers game goes and how Nier goes, or Nier 2, whatever it's going to be called. But, like, shit, they're, I don't know how big Platinum is, and also Scalebound, but, like, that's a lot of projects for a studio that I kind of perceived as being relatively small and not very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next, what are your thoughts on what Kevin Feige is saying about the MCU Spider-Man movie and the influences of John Hughes? So did you see anything about that, Javi?
Hughes. Okay. Everything he says is music to my ears, so I mean, that's the long and short of it. Yeah. That's what I want. And the more, you know, like the director, even though he's only really done one kind of indie film, that clown movie, which is a horror movie, with Eli Roth played the villain. And then the guy also, the rest of his work is music videos, and he did a bunch of skits, like comedy shorts.
He did a movie for The Onion with Kevin Bacon.
Oh yeah, that's his new movie. Yeah. But he did a bunch of comedy shorts for The Onion. On top, so he's done comedy, he's done horror, which is cool. And then also Kevin Feige said that basically they had a bunch of directors come in and tell us, what is your Spider-Man universe all about? What does it look like to you? What's the tone? All that shit. And basically this guy blew them away and they're like so excited with what he said. So I believe in this guy. I think this could work out.
Hopefully Sony doesn't fuck it up.
Yeah, I mean, whenever an unknown is put in charge, and especially at Sony, just like Mark Webb or whatever, like I feel like they hire an unknown so they have way more power,
yeah,
way more pull. On the other hand, you could say that the Russo brothers and James Gunn, you know, and like I guess Joss Whedon, but like all these people weren't big directors when they were given, you know, free rein on Guardians and Cap and Avengers. So hopefully that's what happens. Yeah. Hopefully they make a star out of everybody involved.
Yeah. I sent out like a list of demands, like a little Twitter rant of, I don't want to see him get bit by the spider again.
No, that's
like,
not gonna happen.
They don't need to do anything of like how he became Spider-Man, of like, his, like, they can just, like, say, he can, like, have, like, a little internal monologue or some bullshit of, like, like a dweeb he was or whatever, and now
I want it to be so far removed from what we've seen already. I want there to not be any love interest at all. Mm-hmm. He can be, like, best friends with Gwen or MJ or whatever. Like, they can be friends. They're in high school, right? Actually, I hope they do the Ultimate Spider-Man route, where eventually they got together, but basically once he has his powers, he tells her immediately, you know, and so she's his confidant. She helps him sew up his costume because he doesn't know how. Like, that's a cool dynamic. And then I would love it if really there's not a villain. What if it's just a personal story about the toll it takes on, like, being a crime fighter and
trying to balance. John Hughes movies don't really have, like, an antagonist, really.
Right. I mean, they're going to have an antagonist. Yeah. I mean, there's the what we know about the MCU Phase 4 or whatever. There was an article about that because there was some people talked to Kevin Feige this week, and they said that they have a couple of villains in mind, and they're trying to lock down who. If there must be a villain, I'm leaning towards Mysterio. I would like to see some, like, Scarecrow-type shit where his illusions are terrifying and he just fucks with people. I think that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just tone it down. Like, I don't know if Spider-Man needs to have another super-powered person to fight against. And I'm kind of sad that Kingpin went to the Daredevil series, because Kingpin's a fucking perfect, like, thing for Spider-Man to, like, work his way up to and try to take down. Like, I love that in the animated series, and it sucks that that's already ruined. But,
with some fucking garbage like Daredevil. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I've been, I've kept reading Spider-Gwen, and it's kind of weird, like, Matt Murdock is, like, Kingpin's lackey. He is, like, his muscle man in that. And now, they're, like, cramming so many, like, other comic book characters into this. It's kind of weird. Hmm. Like, the Punisher is the head of the case against Spider-Woman.
Weird.
And, Matt Murdock's there. Kingpin's been there.
You know, I've been speculating about, like, the cool shit they can do, especially because, okay, Spider-Man's basically gonna, you know, his turf is New York City now. And that's gonna be part of this bigger universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're gearing up right now to start doing Daredevil season 2. And it's like, you could have, like, maybe it just, and don't call any attention to it whatsoever, but, like, maybe in one shot, like, in the background, out of focus, you see it's a silhouette swing by, you know, he's going off to do something else. Like, you can do little Spider-Man's here, you know, if you look for him. That would be cool as fuck. I don't know. I just think that's a neat opportunity. But, everything that we've heard so far is exactly what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. But I've said that before. I do, like, the more I look at Tom Holland, the more I'm like, you know, I knew that something was wrong the second I saw Andrew Garfield in character. I was like, he looks so cool.
Yeah.
He has his fucking backpack that holds his skateboard, and his long sleeve sweater has holes for his thumbs to go through, you know, and just,
yeah,
his hair's all awesome. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I look at Tom Holland, I'm like, this looks like a little dork, and it's great. It's perfect. So I'm pretty...
It's like a little mini Javi.
I believe in Tom Holland. I don't know. I think it should be good.
Yeah. For me, it's just how I've, like, accepted, like, the director and the actor and everything. It's just like, they need to do as little as possible that can be related to the last movies. Of, like, he's already in high school, and people are like, we've seen this so many fucking times already. And even though those times were, like, really fucked up, because Tobey Maguire looks like a 35-year-old man, and Andrew Garfield, like, he looks young, but yeah, he's way too cool to be this, like, he looks way too cool and confident to be this, like, awkward dweeb.
Well, yeah, and, like, the first thing you see is some other kid getting picked on, and he tries to stand up for the kid. Like, no. Peter Parker gets picked on.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, we've done that already, but not really. Like, the story was never about him really balancing, like, studying for a test or getting acne or, you know, getting picked on so much. Like, those are, like, if at all, that it was, like, touched on for, like, a half a second, but it wasn't, this is my life in hell, this is high school, and then on top of that, I'm a superhero. Like, yeah, that's, like, what it should be.
Yeah, but, like, each one of those movies started as, like, a high school origin story, and that's what, at the time of, like, the actor announcement, that's what this one seemed like. Just, like, here's Spider-Man becoming Spider-Man in high school again, and it's like, yo, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, they've said... this is a thing that gets a little frustrating, because right out of the fucking gate, like, a year ago, they said, it's going to be a Peter Parker story. And they said, he's going to be in high school. And then they said, we're not going to do Origins again. People know who Spider-Man is. And still, to this fucking day, to the day that Tom Holland was cast, oh my god, White Spider-Man? Are you fucking kidding me? It's like, you knew this was happening. And then now people are like, oh, I don't want to see the origin again. It's not going to happen. They've said that from the start. Like, Jesus Christ. It's frustrating, like, hearing the same concerns that have been addressed from the start. I don't know. Next question.
So much fucking Spider-Man. When did we start talking about Spider-Man? What year is it? When do you think 2K Studios will add the Monstars and the Toon Squad as playable teams in their NBA series?
Next year.
God, hopefully soon. That'd be awesome.
I mean, Hair Jordans came back this year. You never know what could happen. But holy shit, I need to link both of you guys the new Monster Party about WWE 2K14 because they make a
Is that
Rock.
The one where they're making The Rock?
Yeah, they make the Pebble. The Rock's failed clone, and holy shit, the things you can do in 2K14's character editor are...
I just read the show notes where it's like, it turns out we can't make The Rock any better. He's a perfect human man. It's a net sum of zero. So
they end up making The Rock kind of look like E.T. They make his arms, like, as thin as pencils, and his hands insanely long. They make his legs super skinny, but his feet fucking giant. And they make his torso, like, a foot and a half. It's... the most abnormal looking body that the world can ever see. But yeah, that's what we think about NBA teams. And then last up from Jordan Rodkey, recommend some beers for someone who hates beer, to which Dylan responded with, not hoppy bullshit. And I don't know, like, if you don't like hoppy stuff, then there's like Guinness.
Wait, what was the question again?
Recommend some beers for someone who hates beer.
Who? Okay. Where? Who is this asking?
Jordan Rodkey.
Okay, I don't remember where Jordan lives.
Well, we know Javi's vote.
Which is what?
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Okay.
you know
that's
it.
Not a beer, so we can throw
it
that
is
out.
It is a beer for people who hate beer.
No, it's not that. It's not a beer at all.
He should have a Bud Light Lime.
No, he shouldn't do that either.
Those are terrible.
Yeah, they taste like dish soap. I would say, like, look for blondes. Like, I could recommend some that I know here, but I don't think you're from Texas. So I don't know that you'd be able to find
any, anything that's, like, clear and light looking.
Yeah, like a blonde is probably going to do you all right. Like, my mom was a big, like, Bud Light Lime, crappy Bud Light fan, and, like, she didn't like anything hoppy. But I started showing her these different blonde ales, and she really liked those. Let's see. That would
you
be
know,
a...
he should try a Guinness, because it's not super carbonated, it's not overly flavored or bitter.
Those doesn't stouts taste like are... typical beer.
Yeah,
like
if you can find...
They're very mild.
A stout that you like, but, like, even less hard, like an Irish stout, like a Guinness, can still be a little bit bitter just from the malts they use. But if you can find like a milk stout, those are fucking delicious.
Sounds horrible though.
Yeah,
no, they're usually like a little bit sweet and like creamy, and oh, yeah, no, they're really fucking good.
The nitro milk stout.
Yeah, the left hand nitro milk stout is really good. Or if you can just find the left hand milk stout, because that's all over the place. Those are really, really good. Yeah, I'd say try starting
list.
In those areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
Or, like a Shandy. Those are like, this is a good time to find, like, lighter beers that you'll like because it's summer. And so you can find a lot of low alcohol,
Keystone,
like kind of sweet, summery, kind of citrusy beers. Like start looking at some of the, like, if you go to a store and you see like a lot of breweries make their summer beer, like whatever it is, try some of those, because those are typically probably along the lines of what you're looking for. Yeah,
there you go. There's your homework. All right, that's all the questions we got, Ryan. How about you tell people where to find us, since they obviously don't know.
If they don't know, it's like a weird catch-22, right?
Yeah, like, oh, I stumbled across this podcast. Yeah. Where the hell did I find it?
Who knows? Well, chances are it may have been at GameOverNation.com. You may have also found us on iTunes. Like, if you just search for Game Over Nation, you'd find us there. You can, you know what we haven't done in a while is been like, hey, leave us a review on iTunes. So why don't you guys do that, maybe?
Because it never worked.
I've never looked at, like, I haven't looked at an iTunes page in probably 7 years.
The podcast.
That's the only review I remember.
You can find our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GameZeroVerNation. You can find us on Twitter, @GameOverNation, and you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverNation. I may have already said that one, but I'm saying it again.
So you better go.
Yeah. So with that, Javi, do your thing.
Yeah, thank you for listening this week. We will catch you guys next time. Don't buy Batman, but get her story.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
See ya.